Okay.
I'm cold.
So, 2 days ago, I got a phone call out of nowhere from someone in Toronto. I love these.
Can we be quiet?
What?
No.
So, who said, I have a question for you. I'm really bothered by the import of this statement of the statement Chazal that ani harehu kemet, right? Someone who's poor is like he is dead, right? And is that taken seriously halachically? And I said, well, obviously it isn't literal because we don't think that a poor person walks in the room, you become tamei meis, right? There has to be some limit to this. He's like, point well taken. But I told him that if I saw anything, I would sort of develop something on it. So I decided that since it's in Avodah Zarah, hey, all right, we might as well take up that Agadata today. Okay, so it's in the middle of that very, very weird Gemara that that I touched on a few months ago. Remember the one which I threw out to you and said, I don't know what this means?
And then
I gave Gersley smicha and agadata. No, but he thinks he has smicha and agadata. I don't know what that means, but sure, he can paskin non-halachic shaylas. Good. Good for him. Good for him. So in the middle of that, so Amar Reish Lakish. Bo menachsek tov alav oseinu shomale hein lo chatu ana lo banu le'olam. Okay, that if they hadn't sinned at the Chet HaEgel, we would never have been born. Etc. So, I skipped out a lot of the very weird Gemaras in the middle, which also deserve their own time, but I skipped them so that you wouldn't make me talk about them now. But that's where the Gemara had, its discussions like, well, how could that be? We need children to come into the world because Mashiach doesn't come. I don't know what that means. Finish all the souls. What that means, I tried figuring out. I'm like, maybe I'll give another Agadah to share on that. Maybe, if I can, for the sake of God, figure out what's going on there. Maybe. And Rav Shechter actually takes that halacha maisa in one of his birth control articles.
Word.
Yeah. One of the reasons he doesn't like birth control is because it delays Mashiach coming because it prevents...
Wow.
I don't know what that means. I really don't. I just don't. I mean, I can ask Rav Shechter maybe. It baffles me what the Gemara is even talking about. I just don't understand.
Wow.
I don't understand. But anyways, so the Gemara says, okay, so the Gemara says, maybe it doesn't mean we wouldn't have come into the world, it would be like we didn't. Fine. So the Gemara says, does that mean the ilochatu lohavu maisi, if the Jews had not sinned to Chet HaEgel, they never would have died. How could it be? There are mitzvot in the Torah that are predicated on death, like Yibum and inheritance.
Yeah.
Right? So the Gemara says, Altanai. Nah, those are mitzvahs that would happen if someone died. It shouldn't happen, but if someone died, fine. Umiksi v'kray Altanai. Right? See, every line here, we could have a whole agadah to share, and you can decide which of these you want to take up next. Okay, but let's just get the context. And are psukim written Altanai? In, yes, they are. Okay. So hachi amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, ma'idach sevayer v'oka yom ha-shishi. The whole world is Altanai. Because what does it mean? And the world was, it was night and it was day, it was evening and it was morning, the sixth day. God hung the entire world on one condition. If the Jews accept the Torah, great. If not, I shall return the world to void and there will be nothing.
Yay.
Yay.
He said yes.
Yeah, exactly. Meisve, where challenges is me. Tein vayal levavam zed lohem. Who should give their hearts to be like this? Levatel mehem malacham avos yefshir shikvar nigzer gzeira. It can't be that death would disappear because Adam Arishon was already sentenced to death. Halo kibli Yisrael haTorah ela kadesh lo te uman velo veuma velashon shalatos ben. Rather, the Torah to the Jews such that no nation could take control of them. Shenem arlam ani tavlem v'nei marolam. So doesn't that imply like death will always exist? So who damarki haitan at the tiny rivers yomer lo kibli Yisrael haTorah lo kadesh lo malchamavis sholot behen? He thinks no, that it wasn't, that the Torah wasn't meant to prevent us from being hurt by the other nations. It was meant to prevent death. Right? It's a machlokes apparently. And Chazal, would right? Had the Jews not violated the Torah when they served the Egel, would that have prevented death or not? Or in other words, did Kabbalah Satorah get rid of death or only get rid of foreign dominion? Great.
Did no one die pre-Chet, post Kabbalah Satorah?
In those 40 days, apparently not. I don't know. Or it's a Metzius Machlokas. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. Okay? I don't know. Okay.
Come through.
So then, skip down. No, let's just read through it. At this point, this whole Gemara is like suspension of disbelief. I got to be honest. So he says, "Shenemar ani amarti lehem adam v'negol lechem chavaldom azerem chen gadam demusin." And what's his proof? Because it says, "Since you sin, now you will die," which implies you wouldn't have died if you didn't sin. So, Rabbi Yosi nami ektiv leman yitiv lehem v'nem ad olam. So tovi da'av yamisa ika. So I'm lecha came into like a misa and lecha tovu gadol mizu. Okay. So he says, doesn't it sound like there'll only be goodness, but that doesn't get rid of death? He said, nah, not having death is the greatest goodness. Fine. The Tanakhama now makes a chenk adam timusun. So now this is what I want to talk about. The Tanakhama says, wait a second. What does it mean, therefore, when Chazal say, when the Psukim say, rather, that because you sinned, you will
die.
You will die. Right? Weren't you going to die before? Right? Meaning, if you think that death was never negated,
yeah,
then what does the pasuk mean when it says because you sinned you'll die? No, you'll die even if you didn't sin.
And why
did yes,
yeah,
that's what we're picking up. Sure. Like I said, every line here could be an agada t-shirt, but let's just pick up on this. So the Gemara says three lines from the bottom. My misa anios. No, they were going to die anyways, but they would have stayed rich forever. But now that they have sinned, they can be poor. The Amar Mar, because Mar said, and this Gemara is repeated twice, once here, once in the Darim, Arba Chashuvim Kemesim. There are four who are considered dead. Elohein, Ani, Suma, Mitzora, Umishain, Lobanim. Poor people, blind people, people who have Tzaraan, and people who have no children. Ani, Dechsev. Now what's the proof text for all these? So Ani,
because Yaakov.
That's one of them, correct. That's not the one the Gemara brings up here, right? That's a Medrash by Yaakov, correct. But the other one is Dechsev Kimesu Kol HaAnashim Umayninu Dosen Vaviram Umimesu Mahaviavu Elo Shiardu Minechseihem. Because Hashem says to Moshe, you can return to
Mitzrayim,
because the people who were trying to kill you are dead. And based on a different Midrashic tradition in this Gemara, I mean, part of this Gemara, but that also deserves its own shear. Everybody who ever caused trouble to Moshe Rabbeinu were Dasan Aviram. There are only two people who drove him nuts for that entire time, right? And the people who he stopped having a fight in Mitzrayim were also Dasan Aviram. And they were the ones who told Paro and had him flee to Midian.
And they were also there in the crowd.
The problem is, if they caused him trouble then, and they caused him trouble later, so how could God say they're dead?
Right.
Answer?
They got poor.
They were poor.
Wait, where is Nadav Avihu mentioned in the...
Not Nadav Avihu. Dasan Aviram.
Dasan Aviram. Where are they mentioned?
No, they're Korach.
Korach.
Okay. No, they actually are people.
Yeah.
But they're not like made up. These aren't like made up names. Yeah. Right? Suma. Blind people. Dichsiv. B'mach Sheikhim Shivani Kimsei Olam. Right? That... put me in darkness. You've put me in darkness like those who are dead. Right? So those who can't see are dead. Mitzora dechsev al natihi kemes. Mitzora is pretty straightforward because when Miriam has Sarat, Aaron says to Moshe, please daven for Miriam so that she won't be like she's dead.
Right.
Right? That's pretty straightforward. That one's actually pretty straightforward. Umisha in Lobanim, that's also pretty straightforward, which is Rachel. Havali banim v'imein mesa anochi. Give me children, otherwise it's like I'm dead. Right? That's pretty... some of those are straightforward. Okay. Now, this agadata has to be attacked at many levels. First is the type of level that drives me, to be fair, totally insane. Which is, I just look at this, I'm like, well, that's a very nice agadata. Let's figure out what it means. Tosfos, who as we've seen, tends to have a little bit more of a literalist approach. Yeah. What's the first thing Tosfos has to do on the sugya?
No.
He's a literalist approach. So what's the first thing he needs to do?
Figure out why they're dead.
How do you know that Dasan Aviram were poor? Maybe they were blind. Or maybe they were, right?
They were blind.
Right? Maybe they had Sarat. Right? Maybe they didn't have children. Oh, Kasha!
Children's group with their families by their tents where they
know. Oh, good. So Tosfos goes to this analysis. Look at Tosfos. Dileka lemer sumim havayu dachsev adus karachay ne'anishim tenakir. You can't be blind because when they were at Korach, they said to Moshe, what are you going to do if we don't come? You're going to blind us? Which implies they weren't blind, right? What?
It's very convenient.
Yes. They didn't have tzarad. How do we know?
They're still in the camp.
They were still in the camp. The Achronim, I held myself back from getting into yet another level of this, which is, how do you know they had tzarad and didn't, and maybe now they were tahor? God, stop it. Right? Yesh gvuld, how much of this literalism I can take? But the Achronim, I'm not joking. There's seven layers of like, well, whatever. V'chi tema d'mimata n'tara nisrapu. Or alternatively, maybe they did have tzaraat, but they became... and maybe you'll say that they had tzaraat, but matan Torah cured them. Right, this is Tosfos says, oh, they had tzaraat, but they didn't. The ocean is rabu kvar chazru l'mumun ma'isa egel. They can't be, because at the egel, you reverse the healing process of matan Torah, and therefore we're talking about after the egel, so Dasan Aviram would have had tzaraat again. God. Woo! Fine. So it can't be they didn't have children yet, because that wouldn't have affected their ability to tell on Moshe to Paro, right? And the issue here is that they have to be both dead, right? Now Tosfos brings you back to Pshat, which is, right, if the Midrash is saying that Dasan and Aviram are dead, and therefore Moshe isn't afraid, that means that in whatever sense they're dead, that prevents them from exercising political power to convince Paro to kill Moshe, which means that poor people, I understand, they have a lower social standing. People who don't yet have children,
doesn't matter.
Right? That doesn't matter. They can be so, right? So now it's like some sort of. What?
I just said, they are losers.
Yeah. So he says, "V'ishma parshim the mashal shemich saying the machmas kein ein lem kavach od lahasik ela kolhanach echon lazikom minimonim upashtik gromayri b'paro v'yavos melech mitzrayim." Right, and he said, right. Another way of looking at this is that clearly what gave them authority to talk to Paro or the ability to talk to Paro was they were rich, right? So it's just a svara, right? What? Dasan Aviram, who you were in here. Okay, good.
Sorry.
Now, the Marsha says, okay, now I think though, leaving aside Tosfos, I think there's two things we have to deal with, right? One is to figure, well, there's three things I want to deal with, okay? One is, how do we know that each of these are Chashav Kameis? Two is, what does that even mean? Because this is clearly somewhat allegorical, so what is the point? Right? And three, are there any halachic implications to this bizarreness? Okay? So, number one, how do we know? I mean, where are Chazal getting this allegoric understanding? So, people not having children, how do we know they're dead? Pasuk. Easy. Rachel said it. That's not hard. The answer to that is easy. Yes? Ayin meisanochi. You don't give me children? Right? Fine. How do we know mitzaraat?
Also
a pasuk. Good. Aniyot. How do we know aniyot? Oh, but that's not a good enough raya for the Marsha. Marsha is something very clever. And he says, I'll say it for you outside. He says, because remember, the whole context of the Gemara is trying to figure out, is connecting this to what scene? Matan Torah to what scene? What earlier sin?
There you go.
That's one. To what earlier sin?
Lashna.
Adam. Oh. Right, I mean, that's the subtext here. Is wasn't death already?
Right.
And then he says, what two punishments did Adam get?
Death
and
b'zeh
zapecha tocha lachem, meaning before you ate berevach, it was easy, and now you'll struggle to make ends meet.
Sure.
So therefore, Tosfos says, what's really driving Chazal? What?
Marsha.
Says what's really driving Chazal is that when Adam was given death, he was given death, meaning not immortality, plus a lowering of financial standings. And therefore, he's saying, allegorically, where are they getting this notion that Aniyut is connected to death?
Isn't this proof by not the same?
No. Punishment. Again, this is allegorical. He's saying, you see that, remember, God promised Adam, on the day you eat it, you will die. they don't die, right? Instead, they get mortality and poverty, right? So Tosfos is saying it's clear that God promised them death, but it didn't mean immediate death.
Meant two things.
So it meant, right, he's just doing a simple equation. God said, on the day you eat it, you shall die. They didn't die, which means that death doesn't mean immediate death. What did they get? They got mortality, right? They lost immortality, they got mortality, and Parnassa got hard.
Right.
So he says it must be that mortality in a less rich state, meaning where you're struggling for Parnassa, is death-like enough for God to call it death. Right? Now again, you could have argued on this, but Tosfos is saying, right? Oh, sorry. Marsha is saying, right, this is a better raya. The Dasan Aviram one is pretty hard because, right, that's not a source. That's if I already have reason to believe that poverty is death-like, so then I'll implement that understanding in the Dasan Aviram context as a solution. Right? That doesn't generate the understanding.
Yeah.
Right? And therefore he says they're at least conceptually connected. Because when Adam is sentenced to death, he's also sentenced to poverty of sorts. Right? Again, on a pshat level, this doesn't work. If you're trying to understand where do Chazal develop an allegory from, assuming they're looking for at least hints in the Torah, it's not a bad one, as things go. I think it's actually pretty good. Is that all four? Did we explain it? Tzarat? Oh, and Suma, he just assumes, comes from... That's also pretty explicit. Right, three of them are pretty explicit. It's the fourth one, which is less. Right, that's why...
Blind.
Yeah, blind person. Because the pasuk says, B'machshachem oshivani kimitei olam. You put me in darkness like those who are dead. Right? So it's... Right? There. So, again, it's not pshat, right? But it's a good allegorical... For an allegory, it's not bad. Right? Yes, time.
Is it Midrash that when Yaakov was running from Esau?
That's the other Midrash, but you came in late. But yes, the other Midrash is... The other Midrash which plays on this notion, which Rashi quotes, is that, yes, Esau told... I didn't put it here, because that's just a play on this, but sure. That Esau sent his son Eliphaz to kill Yaakov. He ended up not killing Yaakov, but in order to be Yotzei Zayin Kibbutz Avayim, Yaakov said, take all my money, then I'll be poor, then I'll be like that, and then you'll have to be Yotzei what you're... Which obviously is so many levels of Midrash on top of each other, which is so anti-halachic, because you don't have to listen to your parents when they tell you to do an Avera, right? So you try to be Miyashid that halachically, right? Obviously, Chazal are playing with...
That goes against the Torah anyway, if you're going to...
That's what I just said. Okay. Good. So, what does this even mean? So, there's two components to that. One is, why are they like dead? And two is, what is the impact of them being like dead? So let's start with the second one. What is the impact of them being dead-like? So Tosfos, in one line in Nedarim, in the parallel sugya, says, V'nafka mina limiboya le'rachmei. Right? What it means is that you should daven for them. Right, meaning these situations are really bad.
You shouldn't daven.
That's what you would think. Except, where's he getting that from? From Tzarat. Because Tzarat, tamei yikra, which Chazal understand, he should say, tell everyone he's tamei so that people will daven for him to get better. Which means that Chazal see these quasi death states as the type of things that people should really daven for you because they're so bad. Right, meaning since they are like a living death, really, that's really what it is, right? I mean, what Tosfos is saying is that Chazal are saying these things are living death, right? And if someone is living a living death, then you've really got to save them because these are particularly egregious,
sure.
Right? Right, that's pretty good,
yeah.
Right? Now, we'll see. We'll see that there are some halakhic implications to this that I can buy and some that I can't. So, some of them, one question we'll get to is, should this affect your staka sensibilities? Meaning, what types of things are considered more dire? If I had a choice of which things to donate for, do allegorical things like this indicate what's more dire? That, I think, makes a lot of sense, right? If I'm right, then we'll see there are other ones, like, is blindness called pikuach nefesh, right? Saving them from blindness, pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, right? That's a much more serious level of halachic, right? Okay. We'll come back to that. Let's try a little bit of, okay, well, what does this mean, right? In what sense is it like death? So good, tell me, in what sense is it like death? One, you could just say it's really bad, but is there more to it than it's really bad?
Well, I mean, like, which one?
All four, meaning...
Well, I guess the...
yeah, I mean, Sarasi, you connect to Tomei.
What?
Yeah, like, right? Is that
fun?
Yeah.
Well, like, you don't also...
Oh, yeah.
So good. Let's try to figure them out. In what sense are these like that?
I mean, I guess like the kids one kind of makes sense because like you have no more you have no legacy, I guess.
Good, right? Kids, I would jump to that. I have no legacy. I have no continuity. Good.
Does that mean if you have girls also? Or
no.
Why not?
The name,
no.
The name's not carried out.
No.
No. Yeah.
No. Okay.
Family name is dead, Rabbi.
China thinks otherwise.
First of all, last names are a new invention. Second of all, women are people too. Big educational lesson for you, Kaim. They are people.
What? Yes, crazy modern Orthodox.
No, Rabbi. They are objects.
See what's gonna happen. See, to quote Reb Sobolovsky, in language that Yeshiva Bachram will understand. Women are gavras, not heftzas.
What does that mean?
No, they're not.
I never use Brisker jargon in my share. Now I realize the cost that I never use Brisker jargon. It's a Brisker jargon, which means person versus object, yeah. Right? Gavra versus Kepta. Technically, they're not a Gavra either. They're Giveret. Yeah, but that's fine. That's fine. Not the point. Okay, what time is it, brother?
Right now it is 12:40.
Oh, okay, fine. Plenty of time. Good.
Aren't the boys the one who carry on? Usually the father's...
Exactly!
Legacy. Yeah,
Nakhla. No one calls!
Again.
Okay. So tell me. So good. So now, methodologically, let's talk about this. There's two methodological ways I think you could approach this question of what does it mean that they're like dead. One is piecemeal, and the other is, right, coherent. Meaning, okay, the first one is that...
Oh, each one separately.
Yeah, they all happen to be like dead, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
Right? Right? The other possibility is that they're all dead for the same reason. So let's try piecemeal, right? Let's try one at a time. So, good. Not having children makes sense. You have no legacy. Right? And again, if you happen to know anybody who dies without children, you understand. Right? So like, and even for, there's a Holocaust survivor who died a few weeks ago in Toronto. And my father-in-law, he davens for he lanes and davens for the Amud at this like old age home. So he knew him and he's like, oh, he died, he never married, never had children. It wasn't true. He actually had been married and had a child, but my father-in-law didn't know because the guy lived to 100 and actually outlived
his kid,
and his son never had children, right? But he thought, oh, he's so lonely. Why? Because even though he had children, the point is, by that point in life, you understand, right? He doesn't have a spouse anymore. He doesn't have kids, right? Even if he did have kids, right? There was this feeling like this was the end of a line, right? There's that added, right? And that's why one of the rabbis of the shul sent out, it's a mace mitzvah. You have to, right? Because it is, right? So that makes sense. Good.
How do they work Kaddish with that again? How do they work that out with Kaddish again?
There's no one to say Kaddish.
So isn't someone designated to it? Or,
you can. It's a nice thing, but there's no obligation. The Kaddish isn't for... Right?
There's no real obligation.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. And it's nice.
In general, there's no obligation.
Do you do Yibum if the guy hasn't had any sons?
No. Only if he hasn't had any children.
What if he has a...
The complicated child is what if he has frozen sperm? That's a complicated child. And or if he has a child after death using frozen sperm. That's already a complicated child.
You're allowed to donate
Let's say he did, or his wife has children. Right, his wife, forget it, somebody else, his child.
What if he gets her pregnant and then he dies before she gives birth?
No, so then that's not complicated. That's not complicated. Not, yeah. Then he is, then there is no Yibum.
What
happens if she becomes pregnant after death because the Chova was already Chal, right? This is where the Har Tzvi has a child. This was like, once IVF became a possibility, suddenly everyone's like, what do? Yibum, right?
Rabbi, so is it Yibum if he has a kid and then the kid dies and he dies?
No. It has to be he never had children.
I guess you could say about Suma, though, also, that, like, he's more removed from the world.
Okay, society. Good.
And you can say that about Midora also.
Okay, and what about Four?
Four, I guess they're, they're also, like, not so into
Okay, so let's, right, so you could look at a piecemeal, you could say Four, maybe they have no social standing,
right?
Like, they're nobodies, you know, right? Think about the way we talk about it, right? Nobodies, right? The blind, yeah, especially, they were cut off from the world. Mitsora, right? Cut off from the world, right? I mean, they really are, right? They can't associate with people, right? Because they're Tumah, they have to stay away, they're sent out of the camps. So you could look at it that way as four different things, or you could say, wait a second, okay, Mitsora, the easiest way to understand this is, it's about socializing, right? Because he's sent out of society. Ray Foreman has this whole analysis of it where he argues that it's not just that Mitsora, it's not just that Mitsora is sent out and Aaron happens to say that someone has Tzoraas Kameit. If you actually follow it, he follows all the procedures of Avelos, right? Meaning, you know, shaving the hair and, like, you know, there's a lot of death things going on there. He actually suggests that the Mitsora is mourning his own life, so to speak, right? That's the way we do it, right? We ostracize him and make him mourn his social life. And he argues that this is where Chazal got the notion that it comes for antisocial sins, like Lashon Hara, right? If I distance myself from the community, we actually cut you off from the community until you, right, recognize the problem and repent, right, and come back and say, okay.
So maybe it's like a mace, like being alone. Like
right, but once you see, and Soma could be like that, then you wonder, well, maybe, right, they're all, so, correct, then you wonder, maybe they're all sort of related in the sense that they all sort of cut you off from, right, the full engagement in the social community, right? So if you look, for example, at number five, this is from a contemporary of mine at Gush, Rav Avihud Schwartz, Udi Schwartz. Udi's an interesting guy. Udi, he came to Gush when I think he was like 14 or something. He's from Alon Shvud. He skipped a bunch of grades, started. And he was, so by the time he was old enough to go to the army, he had been in yeshiva for God knows how many years. So he was so educated and so smart by that point that he was drafted into, there's a Beit Midrash, I think of five people, of the Beit Midrash Lahora'ah, where they are basically researchers for the chief rabbinate of the army to Paskin Shailas. And now he's gone back. He is a Rav Tzvai, right? And he paskins for the army. You know, that's what he does. He's a lifer at the army. Smart guy, very, very, very intelligent guy. He was the guy. You know, whenever I have the example of, you know, you never have an excuse of Bittul Torah, he was the guy who was in yeshiva until like 4 p.m. on the day of his wedding. Admittedly, he got married in yeshiva and lives 3 blocks from yeshiva and married the daughter of the Rosh Kol Halacha in yeshiva. But still, he was there, people. He was there in the base. I was not. I, first of all, could not get back from, you know, Toronto to YU, you know, on the same day. That just wouldn't have worked, right? But anyways, so Udi has an article, and he writes as follows: Ha'arba nimnim b'brayta sovlim l'lo safek yisurim kashim ma'od. He said, at one level, you could just say, look, all these people, they suffer a lot. Right? One is just to take this very generically. They're all the living death, hard life. Okay. Onitan lomar, right? He says onitan lomar. Another possibility is ki arbat sarot mitarot kan mevatot lamaser richuk v'nituk mibarei olam. You take this a very spiritual way. All of these people are distant from God. Hatzarat vahivaron him onesh. Tzarat is a punishment, and maybe blindness is a punishment. Ba'ot she'oni v'chisaron banim u'bitui lahaster panim. And poverty and not having children is hester panim, which you find in other places in Chumash. U'minyat yiridat hashefa. And he bases this on a psikta, calls Mancha Adam Bechayim Yesh Bitachon, Lachzor B'tshuva. As long as you're alive, you can do tshuva. Mikshamed Ein Lo Derech Lasot Tshuva Ma'asim Tovim Shneamar Meitim Chavshi Kamen Shemed Adam Nasir Chavshi Min Hamitzvah Omer La Meitim Yahaluyah. Right. So death is defined as someone who's distant from God. Right. He says you could do that, but I don't like it. Right. To be fair, I don't like it either. But he didn't like it, so that's okay. He says. Fine. I got a better one for you. He says, I don't think the death here is bin adam lamakom. I think it's bin adam lachaviro. He said, all four of these are in some ways social isolation. Ha'ani, He said, think about it. In our sugya, what is it about poverty that makes it like death? Lack of influence. Right? Meaning the inability to be alive, but be so inconsequential that it's as if you're dead. Right? That's right.
Yes,
yeah, well, yes, meaning that's clearly what Chazal are saying. Right? Meaning that's pshat in the drasha, right? Not in the pasuk. The pshat in Chazal, right? Meaning the point is that Dazan Aviram were so inconsequential because of their poverty that they were, yeah, right? Dead, right? That's the point. Right, Chazal are specifically harp, right, and this is where we come back to Zev's point. It might not have been intuitive that poverty is like death, but that's what Chazal are telling you. That though it's not, right, what are they focusing on in poverty? Right, and this is what's key, is that you have to understand Chazal, you have to realize they're not focusing on the fact that someone who's poor has difficulty making ends meet, which you might have said. They're focusing on the social aspect of it, which is that their influence was lost. Right? Which means, within Chazal, what's important for them is that aspect of poverty. Right? Is being socially inconsequential. Right? So, Nav Shamoshaya Bele Ashba Rabah. He said, right? That's what Chazal was saying. Before, they had a lot of influence, Bizchud Onam HaPrati, because of their personal wealth. Misha Asher Adum Menechsehem Shuv Lo Yachlu Laharal Moshe. And once they were poor, God says, hey, don't worry. Right? They can't hurt you anymore. And so clearly what Chazal are focusing on is the fact that poverty leads to nobody caring what you have to say. Two, Hamitzara, easy, right? That I didn't have to tell you. He has to live outside, Badad Yeshev, Michutz LaMachaneh. Live alone, away from society. That's literally what the Torah says. This is not a drasha, right? And then he says, look at the pasuk that the Gemara quotes for the Summa. I sit in darkness like those who are dead. Meaning?
I'm alone.
Yeah, I'm alone and I can't connect with those around me as if I was dead. I mean, that's the point, literally. I'm in darkness, I can't see anything, and I might as well be dead. Right, that's the Pasuk Chazal. It's
Tehillim?
Yes, Tehillim.
Well, I mean, besides, I can't see anything.
Correct, it's not dark. No, actually, it probably means more like depression. It probably doesn't literally mean blindness at all.
I don't know what the context is.
Correct. In Tehillim, it probably doesn't mean blindness at all, but the way Chazal are using it, right, that's the key. Chazal are using it as saying, I sit in darkness like the dead, right? Which means that, right, I can't see, right, that's clearly what they're saying, is that like the dead, right, I am in a, right, you know, think about it. It's essentially saying I'm in, what's it called? In,
purgatory.
Not in purgatory. I'm in solitary.
Yeah.
Right, I'm in solitary. Right, solitary confinement. And then he says, what about not having children? Right? So he said, think about the broader context. It's not just that she doesn't have a continuity. What else does it do? So this is very clever. He says, Leia, what does she constantly say having children should do? It doesn't work, but what should it do under normal circumstances?
Make Yaakov love her.
Yes, right? Having children builds your bonds with your spouse. Oh. And not having children prevents the deeper connection between spouse, meaning, right? It's not just that you lack legacy, right? It's that until husband and wife become one through children, right, they aren't as much one as they could be, and never having children eventually creates a distance. Now, you could add to this, by the way.
This is quite the stretch, though. Yaakov still...
Correct, that's exactly the point.
That's the point. It's a...
Correct, that's the point.
She wasn't, like, dead.
No, that she says she was. Because she didn't have children. He's not dead. She's dead.
I know, but Yaakov still... talked to her, loved her.
Correct, but she says I'm like dead. And by the way, if you wanted to give me halachic proof to this, what would be the halachic proof to this?
You can kill someone without children. It's much.
No, if you don't have children for 10 years, you have to divorce your wife.
Yeah.
Right. There's also a halachic component to this. Right. It's not just I feel distance. It's if you can't have children halachically, how we get around that nowadays is a different story. But meikar din de gemara, if you don't have children after wife,
let me get out of it. I thought you just divorce your wife.
Yeah.
So no, the Rama already says that that's not what we do. A story for another time. My point is, right? And therefore, what he says is, guys, so therefore, what Udi argues, and I think this is probably right, guys, what Udi argues, and I think he's right, is that Chazal, there's a good reason to believe that this is neither piecemeal, meaning it's not that these are dead for different reasons, nor is it generic, like, it's really bad to, these things are really bad, it's living death. It's that the way Chazal particularly formulate these four is the social component, right? Is that in some way they are cut off from influence, they're cut off from society, they're cut off from their family, they're cut off from societal... Now, you could have gone a little bit differently with the not having children and say, no, it really is. They're cut off from future society, right? Meaning they're limited in terms of... I mean, that's what it is, right? They don't have a legacy, right? If you have children, your involvement in community lasts beyond... Whatever, however you want to look at it. But it does seem to be that the more holistic way of looking at this is that what Chazal are saying, that people who aren't fully integrated into the social fabric are missing an essential component of life.
Yeah, I don't get right? Childless one.
That's the easiest one. Literally. People who die childless...
They're not social outcasts.
So, first of all, if you follow anything in the Jewish community, you'll know that one of the biggest problems that people talk about is that they actually are. Not like outcasts, but literally, think about how much of our life surrounds around children and how much people who don't have children are actually cut off, right, from... Think about it. Parent-child learning, right?
Oh, wow.
Purim parties for families, right? If you don't have children, you are not... Now, it's very easy for you because you think, well, I'm a fully functioning member of society. Yeah, try being 35 or 40, right, and not married. Or married without children, and think about how many events happen in shul, right? And this is, by the way, something that the Jewish community talks about a lot. That in a very family-focused religion, right, you actually do feel totally cut off from the community.
There's some older people without children who go out to... with other people.
Okay. See,
think about all those singles events, the family people aren't invited to.
See, Ellie, the funny thing here is, of all these four, Ellie, of all these four, the one of them that is an explicit pasuk is this one, right? That Rachel literally says.
I don't think it's for the reason of social outcast.
No, it means that first of all, descriptively, it happens to be true. You can say that it's not going to happen, but. If you listen to people's self-description, they actually do feel excluded from the community when they don't have children, right? I mean, I can send you discussions about attempts within the community to integrate people who are not married or are married and don't have children into the community, because the reality is that so much of the Jewish life is around children that they do feel like social outcasts. You can say they shouldn't feel like that because they're no more social outcasts than singles, but the fact is they do feel that way, right? They do.
I'm no statistician.
I mean they do.
He knows from people who...
That's what I'm saying. They do. I'm not saying everybody. I'm not saying everybody, but in Tanakh, it's definitely the exception, right? If you want proof, right? The Elisha and the Isha Shunamit, right? Elisha asks her, can I get you anything because you've helped me so much? And what does she say?
Son.
Betoch ami anochi yoshevet. I'm happy. I'm amongst my people. And what does Gehazi say? No, she's not. She doesn't have children. Which means what? That she was the exception. Meaning she happened to feel like she didn't have anything missing in her life. Betoch ami anochi yoshevet. I'm fine amongst my people because I don't have children. What does Gehazi say? I mean, Gehazi represents everybody else, meaning the average person, does feel isolated. She happened not to. You're right. There were always people who were Ellie-like, who said, yeah, you don't have children, you can be fully functional members of society, and I don't feel the pain. But Gehazi is telling you, the reality is that many, if not most, people do feel not fully part of things. And almost everybody feels like they don't have a legacy, which means they don't have a lasting impact on the community. That's clear, right?
Oh, but it's fine. But dead people could have a lasting impact on society. Assuming they have kids.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's not a way they'll like dead people.
What?
Dead people could still have...
No, it's a living death. It's what? A living death, right? No, b'chol not, because... No, think about it. When people say that if I have children, it's as if I continue living, what are they really saying? No, I really am dead. It's that having children,
it's like,
right, makes that I'm not really like dead. But the implication is if I was alive and didn't have children...
Through them or no?
What? Yeah, I'm living through them.
Oh, really?
Right? What? Again, we could quibble about it, right? We could say, is it about not having social impact, being ostracized, not having a lasting impact beyond living, and the fear of, I mean, think about Avram, right? It's not worth giving me anything. Why? Because I don't have anyone to continue it. At some level, not knowing that there's no continuity, what does it do? It prevents you appreciating life in the here and now. Right? That's what Avram says. Right? It's not worth giving me anything now because I have no child to give it to.
Oh, well, right? That one's fine. That one I understand.
So my point is, again, you could have different spins on this. The point is, right, that not having children, for some people, makes them, right, damages their relationship within marriage. Hence, you have to get divorced. Right? For some people, right, if having children creates intimacy within the family, evidence Leah, that means for many people it creates distance. Again, you're right, Yaakov denies it. Listen, no, Yaakov denies it, but Rachel feels that way anyways. This is what you don't understand. You're saying, well, Yaakov loved her, and Rachel said, I'd rather be dead. Right, which means that despite all the love that Yaakov gave her, Rachel felt like she was dead.
Because it wasn't for a lack of love she felt dead, it was for a lack of legacy continuing.
So I'm not sure about that, right? Because you see in the Rachel stories that she always wants to participate in feeling like she has children, not for legacy, right? But just so she can have children. Think about it, right? She says to Leah, just give me Dudei Beneich, right? Give me some flowers from your child, right?
Like physically have children to continue her legacy.
No, that's only if you read like Rashi that Dudaim are a magic potion to have children. But if you read it in Pshat, they're just flowers.
Why can't it just be fertility flowers?
Or just flowers. Help with, or just flowers.
They have things that help with giving birth. This isn't like a...
Yeah, but they could just be flowers. Ellie, we can quibble on the exact parameters, but I think... We can quibble on the exact parameters of it. I think that Udi is right. That what Chazal are highlighting is specifically that each of these in different ways prevents you from being fully engaged in society. You could say three of them prevent you from being engaged in society in the here and now, and having children prevents you from being having a legacy in society. I'm okay with that, right? I think that's true. I think it's also true that not having children can create a level of social isolation or distance within a marriage. It doesn't have to, you're right. But I don't think, this is not like halacha. If it was halacha, you'd say it's all or nothing, right? Come up with principles. This is agada, we're making a point, right? If it doesn't fit everybody, but it fits some people, right? That's good enough to make a allegorical point. I don't think that's such a kasha. Ellie doesn't like this, but I don't think it's such a kasha. Okay, we'll continue this next week because I think we're running mincha, okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah?